We are going to talk about some funny things, the energy of places, the energy of groups, what we feel, how it affects us and impacts us, and what you can do about it.
It's a show where we talk about the power of your mind
to change your world around you,
to literally affect
the fabric of your reality.
We talk about this feeling of hope
and joy
and relief. And that is what being aware of your flow does. It gives you a feeling of power again in your lives. I'm Summer McStravick, and welcome to another episode of Flow Dreaming.
Welcome to Flow Dreaming. Hi, it's Summer, your host for the hour, where we are going to talk about some funny things, the energy of places, the energy of groups, what we feel, how it affects us and impacts us, and what you can do about it. So this is inspired by my recent trip to the DMV. In fact, I wrote a little blog about that. But today's show is episode number 570, the DMV, hotels, and more. I don't know why I said hotels. Could be any place. Theme parks, office complexes, schools, malls, little tiny boutiques, just places, cafes, where we gather and how we gather and how we kind of drink the energy in to us in our lives. So let's get rolling on this. And by the way, yeah, I'd love to talk to you guys. It's been fun the last few shows, getting your calls and kind of helping you out with stuff. So it doesn't have to be on topic to what we're talking about, although many of you will be, you know, thinking, oh my gosh, she's describing where I go to work, or she's describing my, you know, my family's house or something like that. But I'm so happy to help you with any questions or, you know, comments. You can share with me how different places have affected you or do affect you. So let's jump right in. I want to give you some things to think about, all right? This is the show where I'm going to have you ask a lot of questions. Get some awareness, because you're probably going to walk away later with this understanding that a lot of what you think is you is not you. And you guys have heard me say this a million bajillion times. And it's one of those things that we hear it and we hear it and we hear it and we hear it so much. We're like, yes, I know. Yes, I know. But then when it really clicks, like, oh my God, this isn't me, right? I had a big bright light go on in my brain recently where I was thinking it was me. And it turns out, oh, this is not me. This is not me. This is someone else. This is some other situation. And I've been swimming in it, hanging with it, playing with it, you know, playing handball and racquetball with it. And to the point where I thought it was me. So we're going to talk from that perspective today. All of you who are empaths, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if not, then open up your thoughts and energy to some of these ideas that I'm going to begin lobbing at you right now. So I'll start with a story. I was at the DMV a few weeks ago. And like I said, I wrote a blog about that. You can find that at flowdreaming.com. And wow, I mean, our DMVs are so impacted that we got there at about 8:30 in the morning. The line was already wrapped around three sides of the building, essentially. And all to a little window, like a door with a window in it. And they would let people in every now and then. Some, you know, there's a person guarding the door. No instructions, no signs, nothing. And there were multiple lines actually coming out of multiple doors. So the first thing I had to do was find the right line, which meant I had to ask a bunch of random people, what are you here for? What are you standing here for? And, you know, they'd say, well, I have to renew my license. I think this is the right line. Or I have to, you know, get an ID. And I think this is, like, nobody even knew if they were in the right line. I'm like, this is ridiculous. So I asked the security guard, I'm like, what line do we have to stand in to get my daughter's learner's permit, right? She needs a drive. She's learning to drive. He points to the one, of course, that's three quarters away around the building. Okay, so we settle in. And boy, does it drag. We're in the full sun on the concrete. you know, and it's the concrete that has years of old gum stuck to it. So there's all these little black gummy spots all over. So you really want to sit down, but nobody really wants to sit down, but you really want to sit down. So I stand there with my daughter for maybe, 1 to 2 hours, I'd say, 1 to 2 hours. And we're talking and chit-chatting. And around me, there's groups, families have come, you know, for the big event. And I'm starting to get why, because, you know, this is like a day. This is a day you're going to commit to this. And most people, though, have their heads shoved right down into their phones. And they're not looking up and they're getting these terrible sunburns on the back of their neck. And they're just plugging away at, you know, videos and just a lot of mindless stuff. So after a couple of hours, you know, we've inched forward around one side of the building. I said, you know, Lexi, I can't do this. I can't do this. I really want to support you. It's like the total parent-child thing to do. You'll always remember the day mom took me to do this. I said, but I'm going to go and get my laptop because I feel like I should be doing something more, you know, and we're done talking pretty much, you know, so I got my laptop and I positioned myself, scooched myself right up against the side of the building in a shady spot, kept an eye on my daughter, and I just began to write and do work. And I looked around me and I'm like, gosh, am I the only one who's doing any work? I thought, I know these people are missing work for this and they're missing, you know, not only that, but to me, these are precious hours of your life. Just being lost, just being absorbed. I mean, I'm not even getting the laugh out of a great TV show or something, you know, which is, you know, pretty mindless use of life. But nonetheless, you're laughing and fun and invested in storytelling. And I started to notice, you know, the whole energy of the place, the energy of the line, the energy of the DMV. It was just like this deep resignation. It's going to be this way. I'm just going to let it be this way. I can't fight it. There's nothing I can do about it. The people inside have my life in their hands because if I can't drive, I can't get to my job. And if I can't get to my job, I can't feed my family. So I'm just going to shut up and stand in line and be a good girl. That's the energy that we were soaking in. It was like a sweat bath for 7 hours. Well, to be honest, it was five hours to get to the door. And then we get to the door and we go through about 15 minutes of paperwork, if that. It was actually mostly on the computer. And then the lady says, okay, great. Now you can be on the inside line. And she says, right now there's a 2.5 hour wait. And I said, oh my God, you're kidding. I thought once we got in the doors, we were done. She said, oh no, no, we just processed you. So we had another 2.5 hours to sit inside and wait to be called. So we're soaking in this energy of people just shuffling along, steeling themselves to deal with it, right? That's the energy. I'm steeling myself to deal with it. I'm bracing. I'm going to get through this and I'm not going to let it bother me, even though a whole day of my life was just wasted. Well, not wasted. It's for something really, really important. But you know what I'm saying? Inefficient. Just inefficient. And you know, everybody working there is feeling the same way, but they feel the same way day after day after day because they're seeing hundreds of people a day, most of them super broken, sad, upset, pissed off, unhappy, short-tempered, irritable. Nobody thought to bring a lunch because nobody thought you'd be there 7 hours. And once you were there, you couldn't step out of line to go get a lunch. So you were stuck and hungry. My daughter was like, she hadn't eaten in 7 hours, actually, by the time we got food. So they're swimming in this energy. How do you think it's making them feel every single day? My heart goes out to them. You know, like, I don't know how you can bear this. How do you stand it? So this is a really good example of how the energy of a place soaks into you. The energy of your coworkers soaks into you. It is truly like if you were standing and staring at a series of pools and one was bright and clear and shiny, you know, fresh, clean, and another one was kind of smelly and it had algae and then there was another one, my God, somebody pooped in it. Oh, who wants to swim in that one? And you decide, well, I'm going to go in the poopy pool. My friends are in it. I'm going to go in the poopy pool. This is what it's like when we place ourselves and allow in energies of people around us who are unhappy, negative, complaining, upset, angry, bitter, all of that. This is what happens. You think, oh, it's not going to affect me. It's not my thing. But by the very nature of exchanging, it's sort of like you're swimming in it. You're taking it inside of you. So when you compound this into places where there's a lot of people and a lot of them are starting to feel this way, it becomes like a contagion. It's a contagious thing. It leaps from one person to the next. And I've seen whole divisions of corporate companies go down from this. You get one person, then it's two people, then it's three people, then it's four people. And the only way to finally end it is to let everybody go. And they do that. And that's why so many of us have walked away from corporate in this kind of scarred, you know, battle-driven kind of hunch. So when you're in a place, it's so important to keep the energy bright, to keep it clean, to keep it beautiful, to acknowledge if someone else is upset, let them be in their own upset. Don't play in that with them. If you're in a company, if you're in a workspace, if you're in a hotel, I'll tell you, there was a hotel I stayed in once. It was up in LA. I think I may have recounted this years ago. While we were there, I was there for a business conference. And while we were there, someone committed suicide. And they did it very publicly in the hotel. And we witnessed it. And the energy of the hotel, when I first got there, was just, eh. It was just low. It was just kind of like people passing through, you know, a feeling of not really caring. It looked beautiful on the outside, gorgeous hotel. But the energy was just like, I don't give a crap, you know? And I thought, oh, it's because it's near the airport. You know, it's just maybe that. It's just that kind of thing. And then this event happened the next day, the second day I was there. And the energy of the place, I just don't know how to describe it. It like blacked out, it bottomed out. The staff, the other people, everybody like retracted and closed in. It's like everybody zipped their little energy suits up. And a lot of people just plugged their fingers in their ears. Neener, neener, I don't hear a thing. I don't hear anything. I don't feel anything. I tell you, I wanted to get out of there so bad. Because what I was feeling was not just despair. Of course, I could feel that man's feelings, which was tough. But I could also feel the response to it, which was a genuine sense of hopelessness. Makes sense to me that the whole thing happened because it was like a hopeless kind of passing through. And, you know, someone gets in that energy. I mean, maybe he hadn't come with that intention, but you get in that energy and you're already there. Oh, big breath, right? It's compounded. On a smaller scale, my father bought a house once years ago. It was a fixer-upper. It was one he wanted to turn over, and he got it really cheap. Like, how'd you get this great cheap house? We go there, and he's doing fixing up. You know, he's painting it, and they're putting a new carpet and stuff. And he's a landlord, so he's doing half of it himself, of course. And I'm there, and I don't know what I was, 12 or 13 or something. And I said, oh, Dad, this house feels really weird. I just feel so sad in here. I feel so sad. Can I sit outside? And I realized I really just didn't want to be in there. I didn't want to be in the house at all. And finally, I'm like, Dad, how did you get the house so cheap? And he says, well, the last person who was here committed suicide in it. And it just hit me. I was like, oh, this place is just, you know, drank in the energy of the unhappy family who was here before and the unhappy end. It just drank it in. It just became part of the walls and the energy of the place. And I'm like, you better scrub the heck out of this place because it needs, you know, it really needs it. It needs more than a new coat of paint. It needs a cleanse up and down. And I believe that places can change. I believe that places don't stay the same forever and ever. I think the experiences that go on in places and within groups of people are there, right? They're always there informing things. But every single day is a new chapter. It's a new moment. And you can plant any kind of energy into that new moment. So if we had, you know, a ceremony and a ritual and we kind of cleanse that space and we had an intention of just releasing it and letting it go, we would start a shift into a new kind of space, a new energy, sort of being born there. And you can do this also in workplaces. You can do this in places that you go to, you know, like that hotel I went to. If I worked there or if I was there a lot, I would do something along those lines. This also reminds me of another story. Years ago, someone called me on here, on air, and they were describing their life and like how they just felt overwhelmed and scattered and they just couldn't seem to like get anywhere. And every time they tried something, it would break and not work. And then they'd stumble back again. It was just like over and over. And I said, yeah, I feel around you this like constant activity. It is so busy. It is such a shuffle of busyness. You either just want to zip yourself away and totally numb out, or you just like, I feel so scattered. I'm like, what's going on in your energy? You know, what's doing this to you? Because I don't think this is generated from you. And she said, I work at the post office. I said, oh my God, the post office. Bingo, I get it. Wasn't a bad energy. She didn't have bad coworkers. It wasn't necessarily like a negative space. But the space was filled with stuff moving all the time. Packages going in and out. Nothing was ever staying put. Nothing was ever something you could keep in your hand and grow. Right? I mean, that's the nature of the post office. Right? They're meant to be this place of constant exchange. I said, so what's happening is you're in this place, you know, for 8 hours at a time where things are constantly, you know, changing hands in front of you, in your hands and out of them, in your hands and out of them. Here comes the mail and now it's going to the next thing. I said, you have this energy inside of you now. It's like it's brushed off on you. You get something in your life and you hand it off. You get something and it goes away to the next person. I'm like, you can't hang on to anything because you've taken this energy in. You need to stop taking this energy in. I'm like, take a break, take your vacation time, get out of there. And when you come back, you have to do things in your life because you're really sensitive, right? This doesn't happen to everybody. But if you're really sensitive, it might be happening to you. Let's take a break. And put in some, some ways to kind of defend against this. And again, I don't mean defend like, oh, defend against the dark energy. No, just defend against the prevailing energy that you're swimming in. If you're going to swim in that pool, you need to have a darn nice towel for when you get out of it. Make sure you have that towel. Make sure you can dry off and not be in that space and not be in that energy again afterward. So do me a little favor right now. Think about where you spend the bulk of your time. It's probably a couple different places, right? You're like, well, I spend 12 hours of it in bed, for God's sakes, you know? Great. What's your bed feel like? What's the energy of your bedroom, of your home, the people around you in your home? What pool are you swimming in? Now feel the energy of your work. Most of us have a work or a place of employment. If you're retired, where do you spend most of your day? You know, do you go out to a country club or do you do volunteering? Where do you go? What's that energy that you absorb? What are other people handing to you all day in terms of their energy? What are you taking in? What are you drinking in? What are you participating in? And what other areas of your life where you are putting yourself in a place surrounded by on a regular basis? For most of us, it's home and work, but there are other places as well. You know, if you're a fire person, fireman, firewoman, what do you call them now? You spend a lot of time at the firehouse. It's your work. It's also your home. What's it like there? Are people happy? Are they excited? Do they feel good? Do they feel like heroes? Do they feel like we're here to save people? Or are they angry and upset and underpaid and feeling undervalued and not happy? So I'm asking you now to think about these because I want you to think about how you feel And I want you to ask this next really, really important question. Is this you? Is this you? Or is it what's surrounding you? Is it what you have been dipping your toes in? The nucleus of places absolutely affect everything that spreads out from this place. If you have a CEO of a company, think of a big company, you know, like one that you like, maybe, you know, Steve Jobs' old company or Bill Gates' old company or Elon Musk's old company or Jeff Bezos' old company, or I don't know, I know all the tech guy people, apparently. Think of a big company you like and admire. Think about the culture. They call it company culture. Company culture is represented, is developed by the people at the very top and how they think and act and feel. Because they've hired all the people under them, and those people are kind of like them. And then those people hire people who are kind of like them or are kind of like the person at the top. And on it goes. And yeah, different variations come in. You get people who are all across the board. But there becomes an energy that infuses everything. If things go bad or south or sour at the top, the whole thing gets bleached or impacted with that. And then you see those companies who are struggling to revive and change. You know, a lot of companies get very stuck, right? We hear that about big companies all the time. They get stuck. They can't change with the times. You know, Kodak goes out of business. Like, what? How is that possible? People at the top get stuck. They get afraid. They get inflexible. They need to cover their, I'm trying to make this family friendly, cover their butts and, you know, please their shareholders and the bottom line and the short term and what's the next thing we can do? No, that big stuff is too risky for us. And then everybody starts to follow with that. And you can see how the whole thing just kind of collapses out. So I learned that lesson a long, long, long time ago. Every single person is important. You are really important. You interacting with the people in your family, you interacting with the people at work, you interacting with the people at school, you interacting in your friend group, you're really, really important because you're contributing to what's in the pool. And if you're a very strong person, a strong personality, you're going to start to dominate what's in the pool. Whatever you're feeling or giving out, you will start to dominate that. And if you're a very empathic person, you're going to receive a lot of what's in the pool. And if you're both, you're just going to be a big old nut job, which is how I have felt many times because I tend to put out a lot, but I also feel a lot. And it can be very confusing for you. It can be very confusing because you think it's me, it's me, it's me. And then you think, no, wait a minute, maybe it's not me. So think about how you are showing up. We've talked about how everybody else is showing up around you, how these places kind of create a construct of energy. It's like a painting of beingness, of emotion, of the way things work and how people relate, this whole structure. You walk into the structure and you either feel cradled and excited and wanted and loyal and loved and bright, or you walk into the construct and you feel like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. Oh, what is that? So I'm urging you to don't let it get to the point where you don't want to be there. And just don't let it get to that point. You want to notice how things are feeling and then notice your place in it. It all starts with you. Never starts with other people, right? Because you can't ever change how other people are acting, behaving, thinking, feeling. You can't change one damn thing about that. Everyone is the king of their own castle. Can't change them. But you can change who you are in the situation. You can choose to go in and exchange things and become part of it, or you can choose to pull back and say, I'm making this great because I'm making it great for me because I want to feel great. I want to feel great with my family. I want to feel great at work. I want to feel great with my friends. And I'm going to start with making me feel great in all of these situations, all of these areas. So we've been talking about, you know, places like, you know, institutions, essentially. By the way, you can feel this you know, at, you know, small shops, little places in town. You ever walk into like a little shop and it's like, oh God, it feels like I love this place, but it feels like it's struggling. And I just feel so sad. And I'm just going to buy something because I feel so sad for them. I've had that feeling before. And I know there's like a desperation behind the scenes, right? You can feel it. So there's that. But then there's also, you know, the group energy that people create and take with them, not necessarily tied to a place. The group energy that people take with them. And this is where it starts to get really kind of cool and interesting, you know, in our virtual world. Because we've all, you know, been part of like Facebook groups, for instance, you know, people we follow on Instagram and so forth. You've got these groups of people who come together and their personalities together, what they say, you know, when they exchange, how they exchange, what they're exchanging also creates a flavor, right? It creates an energy and you can get totally sucked into it, totally wrapped up into it. And if it's a good energy, then guess what? Your energy goes up with it. And you're like, I want to be here. Every time I click over here, I feel great. I feel motivated. I feel inspired. I feel like I can do this. But it's not because of what you're reading on the computer screen or your phone. It's because there's an energy, a group collective beingness that has been created that you tap into, that really you're exposing yourself to and that you feel. That is what you're taking in. And ditto, you guys ever find those groups you stop visiting, you stop going to, you're like, all they do is people are just plugging themselves and it's just, or there's some trolls there or some mean people or these people are, you know, one of the problems with a lot of the Facebook groups, you know, they can get into these little cat fights where, you know, people get very overly dramatic and, you know, snippy and then talk behind each other. It could be just like high school. And you find yourself not really going to visit there anymore. It's not just because you read a few things you disagreed with. The energy, everybody else reading them too, the whole group energy just went boom, down. And when you go there, you feel that. So again, it all starts with you. You can be the person who says, nope, energy's going back up again. Energy's going to go back up again. And here's how we're going to do this. This is how bright we're going to feel and how light we're going to feel and how we're going to talk with each other and work with each other and share with each other. And there's an energy that's gotten old and crusty and icky and sticky in this place, this chat group or this, you know, this place where we all go and meet. And we're going to just like release that and get rid of it too. I find that this is an ideal use for rituals. I've been meaning to do a show on rituals for a while. Rituals are change moments. They're moments where you are basically stating to the universe and to your flow and to your higher self and to everybody, things are different as of this moment. And here is how. And we are wiping away one thing and we are putting a new thing in. Or we are honoring and loving this thing. You know, our ancestors, our God, our source, our whatever kind of ritual it is, a religious ritual, a personal development ritual, a nature connectivity ritual with Mother Earth. Right? We have all kinds of rituals, but they're all the same. To make a statement. To make clarity, to set an intention out. And when you have things that are just ground into the ground, sometimes you need something as big as a ritual to fully cleanse it and take care of it and deal with it. So this is, you know, kind of like the next major point of today's episode. Let's see if I can recap these for you. One, notice the energies of the places around you and the groups around you, physical and virtual. Two, notice your way of interacting with them. Are you buying into them? Are you in the poopy pool? Or are you standing outside it saying, no, I'm not going to go in there. I'm maintaining my good feeling and I'm doing it for me because I want this. I need to feel good here. If I'm going to put myself here, I need to feel good here. So I'm not going to be drawn into anything that's going to make me feel other than happy with what I'm doing, who I am, who I love, et cetera, right? Pulling it back to you. And now third, sometimes when things get so out of whack, when you are so overwhelmed, you have to have a form of ritual, a big cleaning, a big change. So when I talked about, you know, my past student at the post office, and I said, go on a vacation, basically, I'm advocating a ritual. Of course, we also did flow dreaming together, because that's a form of ritual too. Flow dreaming is like a mini little ritual that you do every single day. It's like prayer, right? Prayer is a mini ritual. There's little prayers, and then you can do big, huge, all-nighter prayers, big prayer fests. You know, everybody's praying for you. You ever had a Sampala? I can never pronounce it. Sangpala. You know, where you have Indian prayers said for you, essentially. For India, Indian prayers. Vedic, essentially. You know, that's a form of ritual where you are prayed for. And the good energy is put onto you. And it says, sweep away what I don't need and pour in what I do need. Lift me up. Keep me bright. Keep me healthy. Keep me filled with light and clarity. Get all the murk and the negativity away. So I want you to think, what is your ritual? What is your ritual? What do you need to do? Big ritual, little ritual. How can you create something to help you? Okay, that's a lot of work there for you guys. I'm actually sharing with you some things that I took my students through in personal mastery a couple of years ago. The energy of places and ritual, and taught a series of classes to them, you know, different ways and techniques to do these things, you know, and this is, for me, this is like the core key stuff of life. You don't know how to do this, you end up in a boat that gets heavier and heavier. It's like somebody throws rocks in your boat. Every year, they're throwing another rock in your boat until eventually you just sink. You can't help it because you never bothered to realize I have all these rocks in my boat. You know, making it heavier, pulling me into this. So when you learn practices like this, when you have a devoted self-help and devoted constant self-development program, it's kind of like a maintenance thing. It's like eating, right? You don't just eat once a year. You eat every day. And that is how your own personal growth rituals, your own personal growth commitment should be. An everyday thing. It's solid and I keep it. And, you know, church used to really be that for a lot of people. Church wasn't just a Sunday thing or even just a Saturday thing or, temple. It used to be every day of our lives, we are living this, thinking this, being informed by this, because it wasn't telling us how to think and what to do and what not to do and all of this and that. It was teaching us how to be happy and be connected and to love and be loved, right? So of course we want to think and feel about that every day. And then, I don't know, things changed over hundreds of years, perhaps. I don't know how long, just my observation. And you know what? There are still some great churches, don't get me wrong. But people aren't using them. That's my point. They're not using them for that purpose anymore as much. So without that, what do you have to replace it? If you don't, it's like waking up each day and not having a single plan. I don't know if I'll get out of bed. I don't know if I'll go to work. I don't know if I'll talk to anybody. I don't know if I'll eat anything. I don't know if I'll take a shower. I don't know if I'll watch anything on TV. I don't know. I have zero plans. There is nothing that I can expect. That's how a lot of us live our personal development lives. Like there's nothing we have on the plate, nothing coming up. And we only open our eyes and look to it when we hit something really hard, a tough patch. And then we scramble around and say, where are my resources? And you realize, damn, I don't have a whole lot of them because I haven't been cultivating them. I haven't been doing them. So anyway, I digress. But I have a feeling today's episode is going to be a lot of digression. So think about your personal growth. What rituals do you have? What program do you have for yourself? before we go to break, which we're going to do here in just a second, two items. I do have some amazing flow dreams that you can use, particularly if you discover that you are in a toxic place in your life, toxic family group, toxic work group, toxic set of friends, toxic online communities. Yes, they exist. There's some great playlists, and you can find them at flowdreaming.com. One I'm going to recommend right now is called No More Negativity. Feel safety, sunlight, and ease. No More Negativity. Safety, sunlight, and ease. And it contains a couple of flow dreams, and I always recommend more than one, because this way you can play them and not get tired of them. You can keep the same energy moving, but not get tired of hearing the same words. Because oftentimes, if you start to feel like, oh, I'm just not paying attention anymore, then your emotional connection drops and you're not getting what you need out of them. So we've got remove obstacles, resolve irresolvable situations, which is a great one, because oftentimes when we get stuck in things that feel too big for us and like too hard for us and we're unhappy and it's difficult, we feel stuck behind the obstacle. We feel powerless. So waking up and realizing I'm not powerless at all. I've got all of the power inside me. I can choose how I want to feel, right? That's the number one flow dream. Number two, repel negativity and create protection, right? And this is often about the negativity and worry of people around you, right? This is where you have people who are pessimistic, negative, they're complaining, they're unhappy. They don't like you. They don't like other people, you know, and they want you to be drawn in with them because it makes them feel more comfortable being that way if they know that they've got you being that way too. So you want to cut that off right away, because if you go into that, you obviously become that negative person too, and you are letting them steal your personal happiness, which is super uncool. It really is. So third one, safe, secure, and protected. Right. So, and I'm telling you about these flow dreams, but I'm actually telling you kind of also a philosophy of change, right? Whether or not you got these from the shop or you do your own variations of them, by all means, do your own variations. Do what works for you, right? Just do your emotional work here. Safe, secure, and protected gives you that sensation that I am going to be okay no matter what. I mean, just like feel that for a second. I am going to be okay no matter what. I'm safe and I'm protected. I'm thinking here, like 9 times out of 10, we get stuck not doing something, saying something, changing something, whatever, because there's a deep sense of fear in us, a lack of safety. And if we can reassure ourselves, no, I am safe and I am secure and I am protected, then we can finally let go of something or change something or, you know, adjust something or speak up. Sometimes that's all it takes, you speaking up, saying to that person in your family, every time we get together, you're the one who brings us down. And then you enlist everyone else to go down there with you because you want company, right? Misery loves company. And that is not fair and it's not cool. And I've never felt safe saying so before, but now I do. I feel safe saying so. And you will. And then you begin saving everybody else in your family. So safe, secure, and protected is another indispensable flow dream. So in a nutshell, those are the ones I recommend. And on the flip side, why I didn't go to break when I intended is because I realized there's some value in teaching you these kind of three different strategies, these three emotional strategies for dealing with toxic places, toxic people, the energy of people, places, and things. So when we come back from break, yes, I'd love to hear from you guys. Hey, where are you guys today? It's quiet out there. I'm hearing little chirps. What do you call it? Chirps? Chitters? Cheap? What is it called? Crickets. I'm hearing crickets. That's what it is. I'm going to talk about the flip side, which is beautiful places, sacred spaces, right? The energy of places that make you feel amazing and stellar, and how we need to spend more time in those, and why we use those, why we create those, why we go to those, right? How you make your own as a counterweight against all of the DMVs in the world. So stay with me. We'll be right back after this quick break. While we're on break, have you checked out Me School? In Me School, we travel together through a year, through everything that you are. You get to discover what drives you, how you're made, and how powerful you actually are. We play with intuition and flow dreaming and dozens of other techniques as you go through one of the most potent, powerful, and pleasurable personal development experiences you've ever seen. We continually co-create your future, and I ask you to bring big goals to the table, things that you want to become inside yourself. And you'll reach these using the tools that you've probably never been exposed to before in your life, but you will be here in Me School. So if you're curious, go to flowdreaming.com and click on Me School. Set up a call, and we'll help you see exactly what you can do with your life. And if you choose to come join me in Me School, then I look forward to spending the next year with you as we work together to create miracles. In case you missed it, the number to call to talk to me live is the U.S. number 1-760-456-7277. Flow Dreaming airs live on Tuesdays, so check flowdreaming.com for my current live broadcast time. Again, reach me at 1-760-456-7277. Now, let's get back to the show. All right. Welcome back to Flow Dreaming. We're talking about the energy of places and groups and how energy is catching, right? Emotions are catching. So I know I've all shaken you up. You're like, I am getting rid of that negative energy in my life right now. And I am not putting myself in these situations or staying in these places anymore. So good. I'm glad. I really, really hope I inspired you. Or if you are in places where you can't get out of, you're like, I love my job and I don't want to leave my job. But there's this or there's that, or I love my family, or I love this Facebook community. I just can't stand, you know, these certain people in it. Okay, right? Be the light then. You be the person who is different. It's going to take some conscious awareness though. Because if you turn off your conscious awareness, you're going to slide into the groupthink. You've heard that term before, right? Groupthink. You will slide into groupthink without even realizing it, and you may be in it now. So where are places where groupthink is awesome? I'm curious. Got any thoughts? I do. I have a few. I live in Encinitas, and we have the Self-Realization Fellowship. It's Yogananda. Yogananda's, where his primary residence was, and all the monks and go there and study and pray. And they have beautiful hanging gardens and koi ponds, and it's right up on the top of a cliff. And it looks down over the Pacific Ocean. And anyone is welcome into those meditation gardens. And I love going there. I love going there because when I go there, I'm not just going for me or because I'm going to go meditate or I'm going to go flow dream, which I do, but I'm also soaking in the atmosphere of the place. And the atmosphere of the place, the combined energies are care, love, concern, peace, preservation, relaxation, admiration. These are the feelings that people have when they go there. They're either admiring the fish and the flowers, or they're in a state of peace and connection because they went there to meditate. If they went there because they were hurt, they came there to heal. And the energy is of healing. So all of this energy is like baked into the place. When I go there, what I'm saying is, it's like I'm going to take a nice hot shower in all of this beautiful energy that everybody has left here and created here. And this is why we have sacred places like this. This might be your church, might be your synagogue, might be your mosque. This might be your holy land, your holy ground, where you perform your ritual. It might be a space on the beach or on the lakeshore, where countless generations of families and kids have jumped into the water and splashed and had beautiful, you know, sunny days with lemonade and watermelon and barbecue, and just years of joy has taken shape in these places. Yeah, I mean, something as simple as a park or the lakefront, right? It's going to hold that energy. That beautiful energy, that beautiful connection. You're going to find some workplaces where everybody is on purpose and on fire, where they know that they are heard, that they are admired, that their voices are important. They have a lot of personal autonomy. We've heard about workplaces like that. Because layer after layer of groups of employees have worked to make it that way. They want that job so bad. They want to be in that place so much. They are willing to do whatever it takes to make it great for themselves and for everyone else. And that becomes the focus. And so that place becomes a sacred workspace, a sacred workplace. Maybe you and your family have a sacred space, a place that has become filled with beautiful, bright energy. Maybe it's that cabin that you guys own, your family's had for, you know, a generation or two. That cabin you guys all go visit way out someplace. Just beautiful memories, beautiful life happening there. Love, exchange, community. That's a great place. Go get in that energy. Go be in it. So there's a lot of places like that. You just have to remember them. It's not all bad. In fact, there are probably as many good places as bad places. I don't even know how it works out. And a ton of neutral places. By neutral, I mean some good, some bad, you know, kind of right there in the middle. We're not even really talking about those because they just are. You know, what is your home? If your home has been made ill, made sick with a lot of fighting, with maybe despair around a disease, with feelings of financial fear and losing, your home has become ill. It's become infected. And it will infect everyone else in that home with those feelings too. And it will start to play out in their lives as well. And then you'll say, what's going on with all of us? I mean, we are all screwed up. Yes. We use the home as a transfer unit. On the other hand, this home is joyful. I light candles every night for everyone, right? We spend time together. We have prayers together. We spend time talking and sharing with each other, caring about each other's day. We cultivate a sense of beauty and a sense of joy and good feeling. Now you've created a good place, something that you want everybody else in the family to catch. Okay, I want to take a little break here and go to a call, even though this is a fascinating subject. We'll see where we're going to go when Andrea gets on the line here. Hey, Andrea.
Hi, Summer. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Hey, have we spoken before? Do I know you?
I have taken Money Flow with you, and I do have
a
few flow dreams.
Awesome. Well, what's happening? Did something I say trigger a thought in you?
No,
like,
you always say things that are very timely for me, and I know a lot of other people say that too. So
yeah.
But my thing is, you know, right now trying to find employment or something I want to do, and you know, from home preferably, mm-hmm. because I want to avoid what you have said about going to a workplace where there is that bad energy where everybody is just there not wanting to be there.
Yes.
And I think you're right. Yes. There's been times when I've taken that on and I've brought it home with me.
Yeah.
And you know, I just couldn't shake it. So
yep.
I'm afraid to go back to that situation.
Yes. Yeah. So you know that I did a podcast called Career PTSD.
Yes, and I've heard it.
Oh, good. I was going to say, listen and listen again. Probably one of the all-time most popular podcasts, if I think about it, Career PTSD. If I can remember the number, I will put it up there and maybe my
if
Facebook,
not, I can find it. I can find it in the app. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, good. Yeah. Yeah. I think that, yeah, obviously there's a search. So what you're describing is we get traumatized. It's kind of like a person who gets divorced and they're like, I'll never marry again, you know, because it's like they can't conceive of any good possible marriage ever happening after what mm-hmm. they went through. Same thing happens at workspaces. And what it means is that when you're trying to seek a new job, you are carrying forward this expectation or fear of, I can't imagine a good place. Because all of my experience has been to the contrary, and I'm so afraid of repeating that experience again that I'm going to hang back and hold back. So you end up in these really long job search cycles, right? You don't just get a job after 2 weeks. It's more like it's been, you know, 15 months, so it's going on. Mm-hmm. So let's close your eyes and let's just clear a little bit of that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to feel useful. You want to feel valuable. You want to feel, and I'm feeling you, and I'm just speaking aloud the flow and the energy that I feel in you. And I want you to just, I'm trying to like turn a boat inside you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So turn with me, lean with me, make it easy for me. You want to feel like you're valuable. You like what you're doing. You especially want to feel that it's not going to burn you out or make you super tired or take so much out of you. You've already had that happen.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to feel and you want to feel and you will feel. I give only as much as needed, but what I give is more than enough. And it means to me that I don't feel like all of me is sucked out. What I give is exactly what they're requesting and requiring, and they are delighted with what I give. It is a match. And I believe that this can be a match made in heaven, or at least a really darn good match. I open myself to that. I open my heart to that. And however, Flo, you want to make this happen for me, I just stumble into it. I run across it. It happens. And I find myself suddenly just being part of this. However it comes into my life, I let this in. And I'm no longer afraid. I let go of all that fear that I'm just going to find something like I had before. I really let go of all of that fear. I will not find something like I had before. I've been there and I've done that, and I'm choosing not to re-experience that. I don't need to repeat the same thing over and over. I got it. I did it. Instead, I feel my creative self beginning to expand. I feel my excited self getting woken up again. I feel like when I open my mouth and I say to that person who might be hiring me, you really would like to have me because I really want to be here. I want to be doing this. And yeah, some parts of it may be a little dull, right? Most jobs are that way. But there is enough in it that I know I would be very satisfied and feel very competent here. Okay, you see that feeling?
Yes.
You got it?
That's
the feeling.
Thank you.
Hold it. Stay with it. All right, my dear. I will let you go. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank
today.
You.
Take care. All right. Bye, hon.
You too. Bye.
So what we did with Andrea there, that was kind of your flow dream for today's show because I ended up yakking on and on a lot. But I think that's a really good little snapshot of what you should feel and experience when you are trying to shift into something else, you know, kind of like part of the ritual. So anyway, that wraps us up for the week. Say hi to me on flowdreaming.com or Facebook Flow Dreaming. And I love Flow Dreaming, and I'll see you all there. Take care. Until next time.
Hey,
everyone. Thanks for listening today. One request before you go. Please rate this podcast, either in iTunes or TuneIn.com or wherever you listen to it. It'll only take you a minute to do, but your rating there is the number one way that other people discover this show. And the more ratings, the more people who will find and get turned on to Flow Dreaming. While you're there, you might also want to download my free Flow Dreaming podcast app. With this app, you can listen to the show anywhere you want on your mobile device, as well as search through listings of all of my episodes and bookmark your favorites. And if you want to listen to Flow Dreams, actual Flow Dreams on your phone, there's even another app. It's my player app, and it will let you browse and sample Flow Dreams from the shop. There's even an oracle inside of that app to help you see and discover what you need to know most or what Flow Dream would be best for you in your life right now. You can find these apps on iTunes or in Google or your Amazon app store. And again, thank you so much for giving back. Love you. Bye-bye.